It was the year of the dragon at the Beijing Auto Show this week. Aston Martin, Smart Car, and Jeep all unveiled dragon-themed cars. Jeep made the biggest splash. Not only did its new car have dragons printed on its hood, door, and floor mats, even the slinky female fashion model promoting it had a dragon tattoo. But will these souped-up cars ever make it onto U.S. roadways? China now leads the world in car sales. Nearly 20 million vehicles were sold there last year. That's promoting car makers to tailor more of their designs to reflect Chinese tastes. For a look at China's growing influence in the auto world, we're joined by Paul Eisenstein of the DetroitBureau.com. He's just back from Beijing, and he joins us from his office outside Detroit. Paul, welcome.
Hi, good to be with you.
Paul, we're seeing this heavy dragon theme because it's the year of the dragon on the Chinese zodiac. How much of an impression do these cars make?
They were quite striking, though some of the models at Chrysler certainly enhanced the look. They seem to be going for a very sexy look as they try to relaunch themselves into the Chinese market. Chrysler actually was the first automaker, its Jeep division was the first foreign maker to build cars in China, but pulled out a few years ago, and now they're trying to go back there again.
You've written that many Chinese car buyers want very different features in a car than many U.S. car buyers. Would you tell us how their preferences differ?
Well, actually, it's not as much different as you might think. They may be more different from other parts of the world. There's a lot of similarities. Chinese buyers, believe it or not, like a lot of luxury. The key difference is that they tend to like to ride in the backseat, particularly upscale buyers. And that means that a lot of manufacturers have to customize their vehicles for the Chinese market. One of the vehicles we saw introduced there, for example, was the BMW 335 Li. L as in long, meaning long wheelbase, which translates into a bigger back seat. And those back seats tend to have a lot of luxury in them. So instead of getting stuck in the back as a sort of penalty box, you have controls over the radio and the heating system and so on. And interestingly enough, these sort of features, more the general upmarket feel that Chinese buyers are asking for in the middle and upper parts of that market, are helping drive what we're seeing in cars that will be sold in the United States, Buick being a great example.
And how do you think that will affect U.S. automakers? Is that going to make it even harder for them to sell cars?
No, not at all. First of all, the U.S. makers tend to be doing very well in China. As a matter of fact, the number one maker over there is General Motors, believe it or not. They outsold the United States. They sold more vehicles in China last year than they did here. And they expect to double their sales to 5 million vehicles a year in China within the next half decade. So they're going very well. Interestingly enough, as I mentioned, Buick is very, very strongly influenced by China. The brand would have been dropped in the 2009 GM bankruptcy were it not for the strong sales of Buick in China, where it is one of the top brands. But what's happened is it's transformed Buick. The vehicles that are now selling over here under the Buick brand are very different from the ones we saw not that many years ago. They're, in many ways, Chinese products. They're sexier, they're better looking, they're better equipped. And guess what? They're connecting with American buyers as well as Chinese.
Paul, you mentioned that Chinese buyers prefer more spacious, luxurious cars. Again, may match sort of American appetites. Europeans, on the other hand, tend to go for smaller compacts, in part because of how Europe is designed. Is there a risk that these bigger cars preferred by the Chinese will lead to the production of more gas-guzzling cars and away from more fuel-efficient ones?
Well, we hope not. For one thing, the Chinese are pushing very hard for fuel efficiency. They're starting to penalize the big engines that Americans have traditionally wanted, and which we're moving away from here as well. They're also heavily promoting electric propulsion, at least trying to promote it. It's been a lot more difficult to sell electric vehicles in China than they would like to believe. But if the Chinese have their way, and remember, it is a command economy over there, they would be selling as many as 5 million plug-in hybrids and pure battery electric vehicles by the end of this decade.
This week, GM unveiled plans for an update to an electric car that looks like an electric rickshaw, but it still seems like China isn't going electric as quickly as it had hoped. Where is China now on that push towards more electric cars?
Well, it's the same thing that's happening in the United States. They're finding it's much more difficult to convince buyers to spend the extra money to go for plug-ins and pure hybrids, as well as more conventional hybrids. So it's a bit of a struggle over there, and part of it is that the technology just isn't ready. But they definitely need to make a transition. One of the things you notice when you're over in China is that the air is as thick as, well, it's as thick as wool. You can barely cut through it with a knife.
The pollution.
The pollution is just horrid. As a matter of fact, in all my dozen-odd years of going there, I've never seen the pollution this bad. So it's clear that the Chinese want to get and will do anything they can to promote electric propulsion. Whether buyers will go for it is another matter, because there is still a price premium over there, even with huge incentives for buyers who do go for these electric vehicles.
Paul, briefly in the time we have left, I understand that Chinese car makers are creating cars that are a mashup of foreign and domestic cars. Could you explain that?
Yeah, now what you have are the domestic brands like Geely and Great Wall, and then you have the curious joint ventures that are required by law. So GM to go over there has to be a partner with a Chinese manufacturer. Now they're coming up with these even more unusual hybrids. GM, for example, created a company called Baojun, and Nissan and its partner created something called Venusia. And the idea is they're all these second and third tier cities where the next generation of growth could push Chinese demand to 30 million cars a year or more
in just
a few years.
That's Paul Eisenstein of the DetroitBureau.com. He's been telling us how the growing Chinese auto market is influencing car designs worldwide. Paul, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure to be with you.